Some people believe that Jesus' mission was essentially just to be a great spiritual teacher. According to this view, Jesus was just a man, but he was a very enlightened man who had many enlightened spiritual things to say, and his goal was to teach other people about great spiritual truths. And it's true that Jesus was a great teacher. In fact, if you read the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, it says this in Matthew 4:23, he went throughout all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So Jesus was a great teacher. But it's also worth noting that Jesus couldn't have been merely a great teacher because C.S. Lewis observed years ago, Jesus claimed to be God. And therefore, a man who claims to be God is either a raving lunatic, or he's a pathological liar, or he really is who he says he is. But he can't merely be a great teacher because great teachers don't make such lofty claims that are either false or mistaken. So Jesus couldn't have been merely just a great spiritual teacher. Some people believe that Jesus' mission was essentially to be a moral example. According to this view, Jesus lived an exemplary life, and his goal was to show other people how to live exemplary lives. You'll even hear many people today say that Jesus was the one who came to show us how to live. Now, there's some truth there, too. Jesus did show us, in many ways, how we were designed to live. He was a great example. He did and said many things that would be exemplary and things that we would want to emulate. But again, Jesus couldn't have been more just merely a moral example, because if you think about it, many of the things that Jesus said and did would be highly objectionable and even offensive if he were just a mere man. Think about it with me for a minute. Jesus claimed that he had the authority to forgive other people's sins. Jesus claimed to be the only way to God. He said, I know the way to God, and in fact, I am the way to God. Jesus called people to abandon everything else to follow him, even in some cases their own family members. Now, all of that would be highly objectionable if this were just a mere man talking. And therefore, to say he's a great moral example, and that's it, just doesn't cut it. So Jesus couldn't have been just a great spiritual teacher. He couldn't have been just a mere moral example. Some people say that Jesus' mission was to be a social revolutionary. Essentially, according to this view, Jesus didn't come primarily to teach people about spiritual things, but he came to turn the social order upside down. He came to challenge the political and the social status quo. He came to challenge the way we think as a culture. And you know, again, there's some truth here. Jesus did challenge the political and social status quo of the day. He did associate himself and reach out to people who were on the margins. He reached out to people that, frankly, everyone else in society considered outcasts and didn't want to touch. Jesus said countercultural things like the person who wants to be the greatest in this world should become the lowest and serve others. All of that is highly countercultural, and it does challenge the social and even sometimes political status quo. But, once again, Jesus' life was not just merely a life about a countercultural agenda for the here and now. Because if anyone takes a look at the Gospels, you see that Jesus was highly consumed with teaching about things that go beyond this life. He was highly consumed with talking about something called eternal life, and he claimed that he knew how to get there. He claimed this was the most important thing, and that he knew what it meant to have that eternal life. So Jesus couldn't have been just a social revolutionary. He was a teacher, he was an example, and he was somewhat revolutionary, but he wasn't merely any of those things. And so again, the debate today is not whether Jesus existed, but why he existed. And the question becomes, how can we discover why Jesus was here? Why he was born and what his life was all about? You can find the answer by looking at his name. The names that we give our children are highly significant. And my wife and I have two very small children, so it wasn't that long ago that we were preparing for our children to be part of our family, and we were thinking about, okay, what are we going to name our children? And those of you who have been through that know that there is just way too many resources out there that will try to help you find the right name for your child. There are big, thick books with baby names, right? And they have thousands of names, and they'll tell you what the meaning is. They have websites that are totally dedicated to this, and they won't just tell you all the names and their meanings, but they will tell you which names are trending and most popular this year, and which names are really in decline. You may not want to choose the ones that are on the downslope. I mean, you know, you can get way too much information out there, right? Names are significant. Now, oftentimes in American culture, we don't name our children based on the meaning of the name. Many people in American culture just pick names because they like the name. Just they like the sound of the name, but they're not as concerned with the meaning behind the name. That's one thing that was very different between our day and the people in Jesus' day. For them, the meaning of the name was highly significant. And among the Israelites, they often would choose a name that was a reminder of something God had done in the past or was pointing forward to God's promises in the future. Now, if you keep all of that in mind, this sheds some light on what was going on in this story with Mary and Joseph. Now, Mary and Joseph, unlike you and me, didn't get to choose the name of their child that was about to be born. It was usually the father's right in their society to name his child. Oftentimes, the firstborn son would be named after his father. But in this case, Joseph was not given the opportunity to name his son. Why not? The angel appears to Joseph and says, a name has already been picked out for this child. Listen again to what the angel says to Joseph in Matthew 1, 20 and 21. Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus itself points to the reality, the Lord saves. The Lord is Savior. Now, this tells you everything you need to know about Jesus' mission and his purpose. From the very beginning of his birth, let me back that up. From Jesus' conception, before he was even born, his mission is defined for us. And it is said by the angel, you shall call his name Jesus, for he is coming to this earth to save his people from their sins. It tells you that Jesus did not primarily come to be a great moral example, although he was a great moral example. He did not primarily come to be a great teacher, although he was a great teacher. He did not primarily come to be a revolutionary, although he was very revolutionary. He came on a rescue mission from God. His entire life, from start to finish, was a rescue mission to save us from something. This is not some kind of agenda that he discovered later in life or thought, maybe this is what I'm about. This is what is declared about Jesus Christ before he is even born. Paul David Tripp writes this, Jesus didn't come to earth to do a preaching tour or hang out with us for a while. He came on a radical mission of moral rescue. He came to rescue us because he knew that we couldn't rescue ourselves. But what did he come to rescue us from? Well, the text tells you that. It says in Matthew 1:21, he shall save his people from their sins. The word sin is not a real popular word today. It's not one that we use in everyday conversation. But according to Scripture, the fundamental human problem, the problem behind and beneath all other problems in this world, is something called sin. What is sin? It can be described in many ways, but essentially, sin is, at its heart, living for myself rather than living for God. You could summarize all sin essentially in that way. We were designed to be creatures who are dependent upon God and designed for His glory, and yet sin causes us to live independently of God and for our own glory and gain. Again, to quote from Paul Tripp, he puts it this way, sin draws us away from God's glory toward our glory. Sin pulls us away from God's kingdom and produces in us an obsessive allegiance to our little kingdom of one. Now, the results of this, I don't have to tell you, are massive and they are tragic. People often wonder, why do we live in a world today that is filled with so much brokenness? Why do we live in a world that is filled with so much oppression and so much sadness and so much pain and so much suffering and all of those things? And according to Scripture, the answer is simple. It is sin. We've turned away from God, and it has wreaked havoc in God's creation. Not only that, but Scripture says that the consequences of sin are eternal. That if we have chosen to separate ourselves from God here and now, that we will be separated from God for eternity. To quote from Carl Lafferden, he said this, "This is what we need to be rescued from the decision each of us has made and continue to make to ask Jesus to leave so that we can be the captain of our own soul and the ruler of our own life, the attitude that the Bible calls sin. We need to be rescued from the consequences of our decision." My friends, we need to be rescued from sin. It's just another way of saying we need to be rescued from ourselves. The good news of Christmas, really, at its heart, is that a rescuer has been born. A rescuer has arrived. A rescuer has come to this earth to save us from our sins, as the angel declared in Matthew 1:21. The name of Jesus is a reminder of the gospel. It's a reminder of the promise of Christmas. You know, I've become convinced increasingly in recent years that deep down our culture, everyone in our culture, has an understanding and an awareness of our need for a Savior. Even if most people would not admit that, I think most people have a deep sense of a need for saving. One piece of evidence for this, I think, it's kind of a trivial one, but there's some truth to it, is our culture's obsession with superhero movies. How many superhero movies have come out in the last 10 years? I've lost count. I've barely seen most of them because there are so many. But just those movies in and of themselves, our obsession with superheroes, I think reflects an awareness that our world is a mess and we have this longing for these supernatural figures who can rescue us from the mess that has been created in the world around us. Just last month, I believe it was, there was a new one of these movies. It was called Justice League. And I've not even seen Justice League, so I can't tell you whether it was a good movie or not. But I was intrigued when I came across an article in USA Today where they were talking about this movie and they interviewed some of the cast. And in that article, one of the people they interviewed was Ben Affleck, who played Batman in that movie. And he was interviewed and was sharing some of his reflections about the film. And in that interview, he said these stunning words, and this was absolutely stunning. This is a direct quote from Ben Affleck in this article. He said, "We certainly are in need of heroes in 2017. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world, from natural to man-made disasters, and it's really scary. Part of the appeal of this genre is wish fulfillment. Wouldn't it be nice if there was somebody who can save us from all this? Save us from ourselves. Save us from the consequences of our actions. And save us from people who are evil." I read that, my jaw just about hit the floor. Because I wish I could have just been sitting in the room right there when he said that. Because the reality is, there is someone who has come to save us from all this. There is someone who has come to make the world right and to fix the brokenness which has been created. There is someone who has come to save us from ourselves. It is almost as if he was asking for this answer that is so clearly here right now in the Scriptures. The angel appears to Joseph before Jesus is even born and says, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The answer is right there, folks. The rescuer has come. His name is Jesus Christ. You need not look any further. So let me ask you tonight, have you been rescued by the grace of Jesus Christ? Jesus came to rescue, and his grace is offered freely. But we're not rescued by default. Scripture says that Jesus came as the rescuer. He died on the cross for your sins and for mine, and yet we receive the blessing of rescue by turning to him in faith and in faith alone. And we are saved by grace alone, as a gift from God alone and through faith alone. Scripture says, if we want to experience that grace, if we want to experience that promise, we have to turn away from saying, I'm the captain of my soul, to surrendering our lives to God and to the rescuer of our souls. Now, Jesus may have been born 2,000 years ago, but the significance of his birth has not changed, folks. He offers rescue to all those who would believe in him. And that was the mission of his life. And that is the good news of Christmas for all those who believe. Let's pray. Father, once again, we stand before you tonight in awe of what you have done, Lord. For we deserve nothing from your hand, O Lord. For we, if we are honest with ourselves, have all turned aside and desired things other than you. And yet, you loved us so much, Lord, that you sent your one and only Son to rescue us, to save us from our sins. For that, we give you praise and we give you thanks, O Lord. And I pray that each one of us would not only know this reality tonight, but that this knowledge of this reality would cause us to turn to you in faith, to turn to you in trust, receiving that great grace which you have provided. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.